James, I don't remember you ever playing this.
Yeah. New music. I mean, old music that's new.
So you never have?
I don't think so. I just recorded it this morning. I don't think I have in the past.
Good man.
No. Yeah.
Good man. Now, is this to try to warm us up with the fire because it's so freaking cold?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Guys, if you haven't left your house yet today, four jackets. Exactly. Four jackets.
Yeah.
Two scarves. Three hats. Six mittens. Do adults wear mittens, or is that because we wear gloves, right?
Mittens are warmer than gloves. Mittens are great.
But you can't.
Mittens are
cool,
man.
You can't do things.
Your scarf is cool. Joe is going with the scarf once again.
He's a big scarf guy these days.
He has become, I don't know, a little more appropriately dressed with the winter. We know that for the longest time. I know I was personally frustrated by the fact that he would wear double sweatpants or sweatpants
sneakers.
Under the jeans.
Remember the sneakers with the socks over the jeans?
That was a good one. Double socks over the jeans. Double socks where he would pull them up and then fold them down.
But it works.
And then fold them. Yeah, okay. Sweatpants under the jeans, man. But it was just not appropriate.
But wouldn't you have done that if you went to the Eagles game the other day?
Okay,
Double pants.
But I would, I don't know, layer
more
long
appropriately.
Johns. Yeah. There are different things like thinner layers.
Seltzer, we just had the holidays.
Long Johns are great, man.
Could have given me a guess.
He doesn't have the right
stuff.
Like,
this is from Amy for Christmas.
That's why I'm saying good job wearing winter appropriate apparel.
Thank you, sir.
This is one of the first times I've ever seen it.
I appreciate that.
So good work.
All right, good work.
Now I'm challenging you. Like, I think it would be neat to see how. See how thick that ice is
on the Schuylkill. Yeah, I'm gonna pass on that. But
let's try that new scarf out.
I appreciate
you
thinking
of me. Thick it is on the ice.
I'll be like George Bailey, and I'll never have hearing again. Man, that's a scene from a movie with snow. George Bailey going in there.
There you go. You just took one.
Yeah, that is one. That's all right. I might take a few today. I'm in the mood to snatch off the board. I'm taking them off
the
board.
You're snatchy today.
I'm taking them off the
board.
You're
in a snatchy mood.
Yeah, I'm gonna irritate people today.
Oh no.
I'm gonna just start ripping. Yeah.
Today. Joe.
All right. So Jalen Carter has been unbelievable, and Dick Vermeil highlighted that recently. We'll get to it coming up shortly. Let's get to Gary in Whitehall right now. Gary, good morning.
Morning, Dean. How you doing today?
Doing great, Gary. Except we have snatchy mood Joe.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I'm taking a ton of answers off the board. Like the end of Die Hard.
All right, ring
snatchy
it
in. Snatchy mood Joe. He
comes out, he just killed the bad guy.
There's his wife,
and he gets to meet the cop, and
snow's
falling, end of Die Hard. That's one.
Okay, why'd you
do that?
That's two.
That's two, yeah. I'm gonna get up to like 10 today. Go ahead, Gary.
So going into this week, as we live to play another week, yes, concerned about Jalen Hurts, but more concerned about Quinyon Mitchell.
I have much more concern on Jalen. Much more. And Quinyon's a factor, but I mean, Jalen's the quarterback. He's the quarterback of the team. Yeah. And what he does best are things related to running. Which helps Saquon, yeah. And so if he's limited, you know, that could really be a big problem.
Quinyon's legs matter more to me than his shoulder. You know, I know it hurts a lot, and I feel for him right now because I know he's in a bad place.
They're going to run right at him.
Not always an option.
John, they're going to probably try to knock him out of the game in the first quarter by having a running back run right at him and having to make a tackle and see if they injure that shoulder again.
Perhaps.
You know? Yeah.
Anybody else annoyed by the fact that there's going to be somebody up in a booth and eventually on the sideline wearing that stupid letter sweater that I want to rip off his back and shove it down his throat?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Joshua Harris.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, look, I really don't quite know what to say at this point. I really don't. I mean, it's like we all just are eating it because there's nothing we can actually do. But I think it's a disgrace. I put that out there for the whole week. I've put it out there for a couple years. I think it's just a disgrace. I don't know much more of what to say. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredibly. Look, he's worse than Braman.
So
that's where I'll go. That's where I'll go. He's the worst owner I've
100%.
Seen in my lifetime. Right, Ray? He's worse than Braman.
100%.
And for those that are too young to know, that's saying something.
That's saying a lot.
That's saying a lot.
Saying, yeah.
That's saying a lot. Gary, give me an answer. Best scene ever in snow.
All right, before that, EA
my man.
The snowball fight with Buddy the Elf.
Oh, you got it. You got it, Buddy the Elf. Yeah, good. I meant to say good chance. It's a good, good answer. All right, Buddy the Elf snowball. You got snowball.
Do you know that one?
I know the movie. I don't remember. Yeah, I do. Yes, I do remember
that
scene.
It's a snowball fight.
Yes.
It's fun in Central Park.
I do remember
that
scene.
It
really
is a good one.
Yeah,
I just feel like you're not all fully behind.
No, I liked that movie. I only saw it one time, but I enjoyed it. I saw it, last year, I think?
I feel like we had to force you to watch it.
You did.
And
it's a fun movie.
It's good to know that you aren't opposed to it.
I'm open-minded.
Okay.
You know, it's like all the Game of Thrones answers that happen in the snow. I could, you know? You guys forced me to watch that. I'm not taking any. I didn't take
Snatchy
any.
Snatchy Mood Joe.
Just the Battle of Winterfell. It's the only one.
Yeah, Snatchy Mood Joe. Stop it.
All I took is the Battle
of Winterfell. That's now three? Or is that four?
That's three.
Kind of four.
Other Game of Thrones answers are available. The only thing off the board is the Battle of
Winterfell. How long does Snatchy Mood Joe last?
I don't know. I'm liking this, actually. I also like how good Jalen Carter is. And we talked to, you know, we talked to Dick Vermeil every Friday at 8 o'clock. He gave us a comparison. This was probably about 2 months ago. It wasn't early in the year, but it wasn't like last week. He gave us a comparison with Jalen Carter that was so unbelievable. I was stunned he went there. There's a couple guys in Philly sports history that you just, like Will Chamberlain, like, you know, it's like, be very careful if you make a comparison, right? Because, well, Dick Vermeil went there with a Jalen Carter, Reggie White comparison. Let's listen to what Vermeil said a couple weeks back.
When I first saw Carter on film, I said, this guy has the potential to be another Reggie White. If he has the same mental mindset as to how he wants to play the game, the tempo on every snap, he could end up being the equivalent. And he's starting to show that.
That's really amazing. Yep.
You know, he's starting to show that. Sometimes he doesn't make the tackle, but he ruins the play, okay, because of what he did, you know, and because how many people have to block him to prevent him, and then allow somebody to make the play that wouldn't if they, you know. Anyway, he's a special guy, and they're letting him play.
All right, now notice, Vermeil did not say he is Reggie White. He's saying he's got the potential, but showing signs that he could be. And just for those, if you're on the younger side, just know this. Reggie White was so unbelievable that in 2010, when a panel of NFL experts put together the list of the top 100 players of all time, Reggie White was voted the seventh best player in pro football history.
He had 21 sacks in 12 games.
Correct.
1 year.
Correct.
Like, think about that.
Correct. And he probably would have like an extra 50 to 75 sacks if he played today, where you passed the ball a lot more. Yeah, you blocked him.
I blocked Reggie White.
Well?
I know.
He was old and you were young.
Oh, he was so old and he was so mad. He was disappointed in me.
Because you chopped him, right?
I knew that he was disappointed, yeah.
But
it was my job. It was my job explicitly on that play. Q8. You must get cheat up in your stance, 3-point stance, move up as close as you need to make sure you get his hands down because it's a 3-step drop. You got to get the defensive end's hands. So if I take his knees, the theory is he's going to have his hands down to try to protect his knees and, you know, nether regions.
Yeah.
And that's Reggie White.
Yeah,
so that's part of the job description is hit him low because he's going to try to protect himself. It's very undignified to begin with.
Right.
And he knows it's coming. He knows. You don't think Reggie White knows in my stance that I'm cheating up and leaning and he can tell it's coming. He knows. And I could he didn't say a word. But he breathed. I'm telling you, the way he breathed. And you know he was kind of like raspy.
Yes, I do remember
that. You could hear the breathing. And it's like the breathing was an exasperated exhale.
Wow.
Like a...
How dare
that
you?
Sort of.
So, let me ask you a question.
Exasperated exhale because he tried to chop.
Is this a fireable offense? Like Reggie White, revered member of the Philadelphia sports.
Now, you know,
history.
He was a Packer when this happened.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right. By the way, John, that is a cool story. More from Vermeil because he continued on with the comparison.
What about Jalen Carter specifically reminds you of Reggie White?
Explosion. Yeah. He has tremendous explosion on the snap. Physical strength and explosion for a man that size. When he comes out of his stance, he gives you a headache on every snap, you know, and that's what Reggie White could do. I think when he develops more better use of his arms, you know, and the club and all this kind of stuff, and don't stay in front of a guy quite as long as he does because he has the ability to throw him one way or the other. I think as he's coached by our fine coaching staff, he'll start even getting sacks. But again, sometimes the reason they got a sack is because the two guys were blocking him.
You know, it really is a wild comparison. And coming from someone like Vermeil, who has seen, you know, about 60 years of pro football, 70 years of pro football.
Wow.
You know, it's really saying something, man.
It's monumental.
It is.
When a man Dick Vermeil says what he said. And that, yeah.
It's incredible.
It's wonderful for all of us.
But let's hope the Eagles rule the world in 3 weeks. Let's hope that Hurts is on, I don't know, all the late night shows making the round, Super Bowl hero, Saquon, all that stuff.
I have a lot of confidence that we are that team, that special team that can get it done. We just have to execute. We have to perform. We got 2 weeks to do this thing, two games left.
Have to beat one great team. They have to beat one very good team. They have to beat one great team. And that's part of what helps, John. I mean, you know, KC and Buffalo, that's a Titanic matchup. Eagles and Washington's not Titanic.
You have to hope KC and Buffalo beat each other up.
I know, yeah. That's, but they'll have, 2 weeks. But I hear you. I'll say this. As roads to a championship goes, this one's been on the lighter side, which is fantastic. I mean, the Packers, I thought was the Rams.
I'll take it. I love
it. Anyway, I cut you off, John. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Whatever makes it easiest. Yeah. Whatever makes it easiest. And this path has been, remember, we all expected we were going to have to be on the road in Detroit, and that is a brilliant sweep of luck and faith and actually great performance by Jaden Daniels and that team.
Sure is.
Helps them. It helps us a lot. They knocked off the Buccaneers. They knocked off, and I don't know what the odds said on that one, but it does feel like the Commanders have beaten teams that, we have historically struggled with or I was worried about this year.
Understood.
With the Lions. So thank you, Commanders.
I get it, man.
Now we have to dispose of you like we did the first time we played, and we didn't the second time for a lot of extenuating circumstances, if you'll recall.
I do. Yep.
I believe we are the better team, and it's not even close.
I agree with that.
So I feel really good about where we're headed with this. Did you know that Joe Wechter is an elite athlete? I just found this out, guys.
Joe Wechter told me
he's been timed in a 40, and he must be an elite athlete if this time is accurate. The time that he gave me is incomprehensible.
Hold on. First off, is this 75 years ago?
I don't know when this was, but Joe Wechter is beyond elite if this is true.
I have no clue. Is this a joke?
It is. It's not a joke. I can't believe. Is he lying to me?
Give me the time.
He said he ran a 4.3. A 4.3 in the 40. He said he's been timed one time in the 40.
That's nonsense.
His entire life. I don't know.
Hold on. I got an answer. It's new on the drop board. Here we go.
No.
Joe Wechter.
Darius Slay.
Did you know he could have possibly been an athlete at one point?
Joe Wechter, Tyreek Hill. No.
Exactly. Tyreek Hill runs a 4.2. Joe Wechter is saying he ran a 4.3 in the 40.
And you believe him?
I don't know what to believe.
I do.
I know that maybe, 30
years ago. Yeah, I have a pretty good idea of what to believe
ago,
here.
Yeah, 30 years ago, if he were an elite soccer athlete or something like that, it's possible that he could run really fast.
John, let's talk after the show. I have an opportunity for you. It won't cost you too much money.
Why are we not hearing from Wechter now?
Because it's not something we need to hear from. We're good.
Joe Wechter said he ran a 4.3.
Okay, I got you.
A 4.3 in the 40.
I think it's inaccurate.
I just don't think you say something like that if you can't back it up. At least say, look at this. I can prove it.
You
can't carry that around.
Take him outside if you want. You guys take it outside.
All right.
215-592-9494. What Saban said about Jalen Hurts yesterday, we'll get to that shortly. Brandon Graham soon in Jaws. Also, we have, because, Devin famously on our show gave us we have a worse Eagles chant. All right.
Ooh, is that possible?
I think it's possible based on something I heard yesterday. The mayor of Philadelphia has spoken. Now, I feel bad for her because her heart was in the right place, but I think she just got a little ahead of herself. Is that a fair way to,
I haven't heard
it. You have not heard this?
No.
James, have you heard this?
I have not heard it, no.
All right.
Oh,
she got a little ahead of herself. I think she got a little flustered in the moment. This was the mayor recently.
Let me hear you all say E-L-D-S-E-S.
That's an L, all right.
Let's go, Bird.
That's a big L. Yikes.
Is that unbelievable?
Where was she?
She's got she said E-L.
She said E-L.
E-L-E.
Eagles.
E-L-E-S-E-S. That's not good. Alessis? What did she say? Alessis. Alessis.
Anyway. You know, sometimes politicians, like, remember when Nutter tucked his Phillies jersey into his jeans with a belt?
A little bit.
That was bad.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Some of these are just bad.
I know. And then there was the guy in Boston always used to say wacky stuff. And then there was a guy in Toronto that said wacky stuff.
Oh, my God. That guy, was that the guy who used to smoke crack?
There was a guy up in Canada. All right, look, so anyway.
On camera, no less.
I'm sure that the mayor would like to have that one back. 215-592-9494. Ron Jaworski in a moment. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. Eagles got a big victory just 2 days ago. Sirianni, of course, spoke after the game in the locker room to the guys, and we love bringing you that audio. Here's a pumped-up Sirianni with the team.
Hey, we knew that could be tough, right? You get this far, they're going to be tough. And there were some hard moments in that game. But we embraced the adversity and we have found a way. That's all that matters right now. That's all that matters right now. How about that championship defense? Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Defense. We talked about hitting Stafford. We hit him from the beginning all the way to the end. That was an unbelievable job. That was an unbelievable job. Guys, we were able to run the football in the conditions and we found a way. Right? All that did for me, besides put this chain on me, thank you, Chauncey, has made me hungry as I'm so hungry. And I know you guys feel the same way. And I love you guys. All right, let's go do this. We got business to finish. We got business to finish. Break it down.
Let's go.
I love it. I love
run
it.
Run through a wall, Nick. Let's
it's good.
Go.
By the way, Sirianni on our program at 8:40 today. So in an hour and 13 minutes. The Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni, he gets ready for the NFC Championship game in Eagles-Washington matchup, which they've never had before. Second time in Eagles history that the Eagles will face a division foe in the conference title game. Of course, we remember the first time in 1980 when Ron Jaworski was the quarterback and the Birds defeated the Dallas Cowboys.
It's only
Cowboys.
Happened seven times in NFC history, for what it's worth.
I'm surprised
it's
that
I'm sorry. Eight times. This will be the ninth time it's happened.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, Bob Vitrone tweeted it out. The home team is 7-1 in those games.
I am shocked by that. I remember a Washington-Dallas game.
Washington-Dallas in 72, Eagles right. in Dallas in 80, Washington-Dallas in 82 again, right. The Giants in Washington in 86,
yep.
The Niners and Rams, so a lot of NFCs there. Niners and Rams in 89, the Bears and Packers.
Oh, you're going other divisions.
This is in the whole NFC.
I gotcha.
The whole NFC, gotcha. The history sure. of the NFC in sure, the Super sure, Bowl sure. era.
Yeah, yeah.
It's happened eight. This is the ninth time, 7-1 home.
I gotcha. All right, let's talk about the aforementioned outstanding Philadelphia Eagles, hopefully on the road to Super Bowl victory. Two more games to get it done. The great quarterback and friend, Ron Jaworski, joins us. Jaws, good morning.
Oh, it is a good morning. It's a great morning. It's going to be a glorious week, culminating with a championship victory on Sunday. So how can you not be excited
yeah.
this week?
Jaws, this is so good, man. And, you know, I said it earlier in the show, I think the Eagles should beat Washington. Now, look, we'll get to that in a moment, but let's go back to the last game. Walk us through, from your perspective as a quarterback, someone who played in the snow and know what the adversity can be like, how impressed you were by the Eagles' ability to manage the snow, manage the opponent, and manage adversity, all of which was in play the other day, a game that hung in the balance. What stood out to you from that contest?
Hey, Joe, it's interesting just hearing Nick Sirianni's comment. It rings true. Embrace adversity. When you get in these situations in the playoffs, everybody's good. You're getting no weak football teams this time of the season. So there's going to be some ups and downs in every football game. And how you handle those downs really will be the key where you end up at the end of the game. I think the fact that the Eagles seemed to and did embrace the adversity throughout the game. Hey, wasn't a perfect game. It didn't look good at times, but they fought their way through it. I think that's the difference. When you get in games like this, you got to have a team that is tough, that is resilient, and can adapt to the weather conditions no matter what they may be. And it may not just be the weather. You may fall behind in the game. How do you deal with that? Do you panic? I think this team has been tournament tested. I think they're ready to embrace the adversity on Sunday.
Jaws, it seemed as though the pressure worked for the Rams. The defensive pressure, we know that the sacks were too numerous. Did we have answers protection-wise? Are you worried moving forward about protection?
Well, there's concern, let's put that. When your quarterback sacks seven times, there's some concern, and there's some shared blame on that. The quarterback holding the ball too long and breakdowns in the pass protection scheme. But, is there concern? Absolutely. You never want to see that happen. But I thought, when I went through the tape, when I saw Jalen, there were some opportunities. But I could understand why he didn't make the throws. You know, when you got a defense that's as good as this defense is right now, when you got a running game that's as good as this running game is right now, don't risk. Don't put the ball in harm's way. And I think he played a conservative game because he felt and they felt that they could win the game by not turning the football over. In fact, if you look at the four games over the weekend, the four winning teams did not turn the football over.
Right.
In these equitable games in the playoffs, every team is good. You better take care of the football. Did Jalen get a little bit conservative? Yes, he certainly did. But clearly, it paid off at the end.
So the sacks that took us out of field goal range twice, is that the lesser of two evils? Is taking the sack there the lesser of two evils because the risk would be too great trying to put that ball up?
But Joe, here's the flip side for me on that. Just throw the ball away from the pocket close enough to a player that it's not intentional grounding. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not like splitting the atom. I mean, know where your receivers are and throw an incomplete pass, right?
Joe, I agree with you 100%. You got to feel the pressure. You know when the pressure's coming. Know where that outlet is. Know where the pressure outlet is. Mm-hmm. And I was back to my playing days, and the coaches that taught me, you know, Sid Gilman, Hall of Fame coach. He was my quarterback coach for a number of years here in Philadelphia. Always in your mind, know where the quick pressure is and where you're going to go with it. The first thing, if there's quick pressure, where are you going with the football? Not the last thing. The first thing you got to remember, when you call that play, if there's quick pressure, someone misses a block, a blitz comes home free, you misread a blitz. When you feel that pressure, know where you're getting rid of the football. Do not take a negative play and lose yardage.
Right, and we were always taught that a sack, it destroys a drive. You know, the numbers prove it. Sacks
are... Oh, my God, yes, you're right, John. Absolutely right. They're drive killers when you have penalties.
Yeah, so getting rid of the ball, like once upon a time, it felt like that was the only thing to do. Now it seems like, okay, there are other options. Maybe Jalen was doing the right thing. I don't know. It is convoluted.
I thought there were some opportunities to get rid of the football and actually some opportunities down the field, but I can see where the errors were being made, the error in being conservative and not making a big mistake and not giving the Rams an opportunity to get back in the game or take a lead in the game. If you're going to play that kind of game, knowing you can rely eventually on your running game. The running game was there. Defense was playing awesome.
Yeah.
But I think the fact is, he was well aware, do not make a big mistake.
Right. So Detroit made some mistakes against our opponent coming up here. Are there mistakes that the Lions made that we should be warning our team against?
Yeah, how about five turnovers?
That's right.
Pretty simple. If you're not judicious with the football, you play sloppy football with the football, you're going to lose the football game. Plain and simple. 5-0 is 100% loss. You're minus 5 in turnovers, 100% loss. Minus 4, 100% loss. Then it goes down to 90, 80, and 70% as you move down the turnover totem pole. But you turn it over, you're going to lose.
Jaws, you have been an Eagle for 50 years, just about. And, of course, you know some of the great players prior to your tenure here because you got to know them, the Van Buren's and Tommy McDonald's and such.
50 years.
Yeah.
That's true, though.
Well, you're calling him old. I'm not calling Jaws old, but that's what you just highlighted.
Sorry.
I was trying to be polite, Jaws,
thinking about the grandiosity of that. Like, we are really talking. Holy cow.
All right, so, Jaws, here's the question. And, of course, you knew Reggie and you saw him. And is Saquon having the greatest season an Eagles player has ever had?
He's on his way. I'm going to let this play out before I make a true evaluation. But he has been absolutely phenomenal. He's in that category. This is a season, obviously, for the record. But let's see where it ends up before we anoint it maybe the greatest season ever. Because we're not done.
Not
this
done.
Season isn't done.
Yeah, but he's got a shot, though,
I'm
going
to hold my ballot.
Yeah, okay.
I'm staying at the moment.
That's fair. That's totally fair. All right, something that Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman cannot hold their ballot on is who the kicker should be for Sunday. Jaws, they got to make a decision, and it's our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armand Chevrolet. Check out Armand's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at armandchevy.com. That's armandchevy.com. Together, let's drive. Jaws, what would be your answer to this question? Who should be the Eagles kicker versus Washington on Sunday? A, Jake Elliott. B, the best available free agent kicker.
A.
Why?
I'm not making a change at this time of year. Jake has come through so many times in a big way. Is he in a slump? Absolutely. But I think he has the talent and the mindset to work his way through it. I'm staying with Jake Elliott. What's out there? Give me some names, Joe. Tell me who's going to come in here. And
I don't know. I don't know the name. I know Howie Roseman knows the name. I know it's his
I'm
job.
I'm sure they have a list of guys who want to go through. I'm staying with Jake Elliott. The guy's done too many good things throughout his career to bail on him now.
Yeah, I think he's done too many bad things the last couple weeks to keep him. I mean,
there's certainly some concern. I'm not denying that, but I'm trusting Jake Elliott.
Josh, have you been around a kicker? Have you ever seen a kicker who's missing extra points over longer field goals? Like, that seems sort of inexplicable, doesn't it?
The major concern I have is when we're going to have to kick a long field goal. If it'll come down to that 50 plus where he's been 1-7. Yeah. This season on long field goals. That's where my concern will be.
Yeah, and 50-plus might be like 45-plus in the cold. I mean, cold makes it even
closer. I think so.
Yeah, makes it even closer.
It affects everything. Maybe, look, he needs to have confidence that he can make everything, and the fact that the ball does not travel as far when it's cold, that's not helping him.
No, it's not. Jaws, let's talk about the offense knowing that, I mean, Jalen's not going to be 100%. We don't know what percentage he'll be, but it sounds like this injury is, it didn't look good. The challenge for Sirianni and Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts to put a good offensive performance out there with the quarterbacks running limited. Walk us through your level of concern and how they can work around it.
Well, there certainly is some concern because I think Jalen is such a big contributor to the running game as well. Not only his ability to run the football, which is apparent to everybody, but the fact that he can hold the backside of the defense, the pursuit of the backside, with his running ability. And so the defense has to stay balanced. And that opens up things play side for Saquon Barkley. So I think in that regard, we just think back to last year. We never really knew that what was wrong with Jalen and running-wise, but he wasn't 100%. And he deteriorated the second half of the season in his ability to run the football. So I think I do have a little bit of concern. I mean, he's not the same, and no one's the same when they're hurt. He's been kind of dinged a little bit. To what degree, no one really knows, and I'm sure they won't let us know. But clearly, when he's not mobile, it has an impact on the offense.
Jaws, are defenses going to start playing us differently? And by this, I mean the conventional wisdom says put extra guys in the box against good running teams. And like us, we are a great running team. When I saw the Rams insert extra safeties into the box, they failed miserably because as soon as Saquon broke through that, second line of defense, meaning, D-line and then linebacker and safety, he was gone. He was off to the races. Is his combination of size, speed, and this offensive line's incredible blocking making it such that teams are no longer going to insert a safety because it doesn't help them anyway?
If you play it right, it helps. I mean, if you have better numbers, John, you're well aware of this. You have more numbers down in the box, it's an advantage to the defense. But you must play it the correct way. And I actually thought for the Rams, they did a pretty good job for most of the game. They had negative plays. They were getting penetration. But when you don't layer your defense properly, in other words, defensive line, linebackers, corner safety, the third level of defense, if you don't layer it properly and Saquon breaks up that layer, he's gone. There's no one else there. And I thought the Rams made a few mistakes in that, and obviously he had big runs because of that. So you got to give a lot of credit to what I'm saying is, if you load that box, you better load it with layers rather than just a straight line coming across.
Right.
And if you break it, you get a big run.
That's right. Yep. Ron Jaworski with us right now. Brandon Graham, by the way, joins us in about 2 minutes. All right, Jaws, two final things. Jaden Daniels. We all know he's phenomenal. You called it 2 months ago when you said best rookie QB you've ever seen, and I think he's done nothing to change, I'm sure, your mind and probably others' mind on that. What can the Eagles exploit with him this week? We've seen him play. We know he's really good. Where are the weaknesses that you think Vic Fangio may attack?
Broken ribs. the couple off games he had this year, he had that rib injury. And the other day, he's been pretty hard to stop by every team in this league. But you know, when I said those comments, it was before that game where we played him week one.
Yep.
And no one really knew the injuries, if he was even playing that game because of the rib injury. And he had some open receivers in that game that he missed. He's just been playing that way all season long. When he's healthy, he's a damn tough guy to defend. And they have weapons. Now, they've had some injuries on their offensive line. It's going to really hurt them. That always helps, you know, a defense when a guy like Sam Cosmi is out, who's been one of their best offensive linemen, a right guard. He's going to be out for this game. And, you know, that guy Jalen Carter, he's going to be playing at a pretty high level right now, like everybody's butt right now. So whoever they decide to put in there, he better put that double chin strap on because he's going to get his butt whipped.
No question.
So it's going to be that kind of game. But when you look at Jaden Daniels, there's not a thing he can't do. He makes every throw. He's got great anticipation. He can run. He just got – I talked to some guys yesterday. I said, he's like a mini Randall Cunningham. Randall was bigger and taller. And I used to nickname Randy Gumby because he was kind of that loosey-goosey kind of guy. And if you watch Jaden Daniels right now, he's kind of a mini Randall Cunningham.
Wow, but better at reading defenses?
Yeah, he's damn good. Now, again, he came through a great program in college, so that certainly helps to move his mental game and cerebral game along. But he's just a playmaker, and if you don't contain him, he will hurt you.
Wow. All right, Jaws, final thing. I mean, we all know around here – everyone's picking the Eagles to beat Washington, I think. But Chiefs-Bills, who wins that one?
Well, I've had the Chiefs since day one. I just think you're such a complete team. I'm going to go with Andy and the Chiefs.
Yeah, wild. All right, Jaws.
You know where I'm going this week, Joe.
Well,
I'm getting ready for New Orleans, brother.
I love it. And Jaws, if the Eagles make it, and I think they will, I don't know if you did this in 22, but I know you did it in 17. So if you didn't do it in 22, I need you to do it again. Greet the Eagles team coming off the plane like you did in 2017 when they were on the road to winning that Super Bowl.
Hey, I'd be happy to be there and give out the hats. Whatever they want me to give it, I'll give it out. Whatever it takes to win, Joe.
I love it.
We do whatever it takes to win.
All right, Jaws. Love you, my man. Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Jaws.
See you next week.
All right, there he is, Ron Jaworski. All right, let's go from one Eagles legend, Jaws. Actually, real quick, before another Eagles legend, let's remind you in about, 18 minutes time, we are giving away this week on Friday tickets to the Eagles-Washington game. Obviously, a spot in the even bigger game awaits for the winner of this one, Eagles and Washington, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, the four times you got to hear at 8 o'clock a name that we will give you. And with that name, you can win tickets. You can win tickets to this weekend's game between Eagles and Washington.
It's a big deal,
you
Joe.
Can win them Friday. Big deal! You can win them Friday on our show. Listen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock.
Courtesy of our terrific partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, someone who does not need a ticket to the game, he will be there. Perhaps on the sidelines, perhaps up in a booth, perhaps in pads, perhaps in street clothes. Mr. Brandon Graham, good morning, BJ.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you, pal?
Man, I'm feeling good.
Congrats to the squad, man.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. As tense as it got, it was fun, man. The whole thing, everybody being together, everybody loving on each other, just in the moments. And, man, I feel like we maximized the best we could in the conditions we had, and so I'm happy we got a win.
Was it tense for you? Like, you couldn't impact the game other than, and I'm not just shortchanging this, you could give some advice to the teammates, but it's not the same as I can go sack the quarterback myself.
Well, you know what?
Was that nerve-wracking to see it, like, hang in the balance?
Like, you know what? I try to be the one that reminders since I'm not out there.
Yep.
And I always feel that feeling with what you're saying in the beginning of the game when it's everybody is in there and it's just, I mean, just the vibe of the whole game. I mean, the tense atmosphere of everybody just don't know what's going to happen until the game start. But once the game start, man, I'm in it. And I know for us, I try to make sure I give us reminders on, remember in the red zone, this is what they like to do, quarterback run, like which he did. He ran up the middle. Just little things that I'm not out there to say.
How do you get the first hit out? I know for me, I would get nervous a little bit, and then the first hit was everything was fine. I mean, immediately, as soon as that hits out of the way, it's just like clockwork. You've been doing it your whole life. How do you get the first hit out when you don't get the hit?
Well, when I see somebody hit like Orin that first game.
Oh, that'll do it. Yeah.
That got me.
That gets you started.
That got me. So us scoring or us getting the stop on defense, that's when it really hit me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, BG, so I'm dreaming a dream here. Terrell Owens came back in 2004 when he was supposed to be out for the year. You know, 2 months ago, pretty much supposed to be out for the year. And you have left the door open. You have publicly stated on our show many times the door is somewhat open. Is the door more open? Eagles got a game in 5 days. If you win that one, you got a game in 19 days. How open's the door?
Let's get there.
Sunday three Sundays from now. Which Sunday are we talking about?
Let's go win this week. That's all. That's all I'm focused on.
If
right
we
now.
Win
I'm
this week, yeah. This
and then you know we,
that
we
is a long
some,
time.
We'll see something.
if the team wins this week, that's you said 19 days.
Well, what about if the team won last week, which they did?
Right.
Yeah. What about that door?
Yeah, that seems like that's a long time to get ready too.
We're not.
Do you feel ready?
Not there yet. We gotta get. We gotta get this win, baby.
Seltzer, I'm checking the Eagles practice report tomorrow. Is Brandon Graham in action or not? I'm just asking for a friend. I want to know.
Is there any Big Ten like pride that 2 years in a row the national champion is a Big Ten rival?
Oh, for sure, because SEC been dominating. I will say, I mean, that's what people always brag about. Oh, but y'all can't beat the SEC team. But I'm glad. I mean,
2 years
I'm
in a row.
I'm happy we did it first.
That's a good answer.
But Brandon, it's your rival, man.
Hey, I know.
But there's something to the fact that it is the rival, that they're the best in the country.
John, you're in for Washington over the Bills if they beat the Eagles?
No.
Me neither.
No.
I don't need that nonsense. It's not going to happen anyway. Eagles are going to win. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. BG with us in studio. Reminder, 15 minutes from now, you can hear a name that with that name, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Washington game on Friday. So stay tuned and tell your family and friends. Spread the word, seriously, because if you want to increase your chances to get to that game, spread the word, family and friends, and maybe they win and then they take it because you were the good guy that called them up and said, hey, listen at 8 o'clock for your chance to win tickets. All right.
Brent, I got a question also. I don't know if you know this. Nolan Smith is out there not wearing gloves. I don't know if noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that an intentional, I am going sleeveless, I am going gloveless, I am going as clothesless as possible when it's cold just to show everyone?
Tough guy.
If you know Nolan, you know how hardcore he is.
He's not wearing gloves.
No gloves, got the finger tape on it. I mean, arms out, don't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
so
he's not worried about nothing.
But this is new age crazy, not going gloveless. Mm-hmm. The gloveless part, no one goes gloveless.
Not as insane as Ronnie Lott chopping off his finger.
True. Very true.
You know that one, Brandon? Ronnie Lott years ago had a finger issue. Top of his finger.
It was
his
pinky. Something.
Like the top third.
They said, if you want to go back in, we're going to have to dispose of the tip of the finger. If you want to go back in, you're going to have to do surgery, which means you can't go back in and help the team. So make a choice. Either go get surgery to fix your finger and have a normal-looking hand forever, or cut your finger off and go back in the game. And he cut his finger off.
Boy. Oh, man. Hey, that was that moment right there. He felt everything. I needed to do this for my team.
Whatever it takes, Brandon. Whatever it takes.
I wish we could have shown Brandon's face right there. Like,
Ronnie Lott has mixed feelings about it.
Yeah,
he does.
Well, he's also got four rings, so, you know. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. JB in Chestnut Hill. JB, in a great week. Good morning, pal.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everyone.
What's up, JB?
Good morning, JB.
Hey, John, you know, since you guys are talking about snow, you know it can take up to 2 hours for a snowflake to hit the ground?
Wow.
Really?
That's wild.
Wild stuff, right?
That is super far.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know who judged it or measured it, but I guess they had a lot of time on their hands.
That's a cool fact.
That's amazing. Yeah. I never considered that.
Yeah. I wanted to hit on the Sam Cozy issue, but Jaws alluded to it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge deal. I mean, Trent Scott's a good backup, but he's still a backup, and I'm sure BG would be, you know, very happy to be doing some sort of like tech stunt right now this week, going in to break inside against one of these guards that are playing backup.
Well, when BG got to Brady in the Super Bowl, it was against a guard. I mean, Brandon, obviously, correct, most of your action's been outside through the years, but that was inside.
Yeah.
That's where you got there.
So it's fun.
Yeah. It's about matchups, I mean, in this game, for sure. It's about matchups.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, you got, I don't know how much, like, Zacchaeus being on the team last year has any help for them, or maybe it helped them in the last two games. But I think that's something to watch. And then keeping an eye on that, what's his name, Louvie, the linebacker who took the...
Louvie, Frankie.
Yeah, he crushed Goff. And then he's taking a shot.
That guy's a player.
Yep.
And yeah,
he's not afraid to be a little dirty though. I mean, that hit on Goff was a clear helmet to helmet.
Number four, right?
Yeah. Number four, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he's like toes the line of being gritty to dirty.
Listen, Buddy Bobby Ryan would Wagner. Be proud of him. There was a turnover, and he smashed the quarterback. I mean, that's football.
Yeah. They've got.
Yeah, it's a different era, though, man. I mean, like, we're not looking to like hurt people Wagner in that way.
You know? What? A lot of
like
people
head wise. You know, you got to be careful. Like, you can't be attacking people with their heads with your helmets. That's dangerous.
They won the game. I hear you, James. I'm not saying you're wrong, but they won the game. All right, JB, I need an answer. In honor of the Eagles' victory in the snow, the best scene ever in the snow in a movie or a show.
How about the maze scene in The Shining during the snow?
Amazing answer. I didn't say it at the top because I thought it could win.
So great, did I. That was my first
answer.
Thought.
Wow.
Super great answer.
It's funny. I haven't seen that in about 20 years, so I'm not remembering that specific
the
scene.
But
what do you mean? It's the
end of the movie.
The climax, man.
I love it. I don't remember. Such as like, what do you mean? What
you
do you mean? What do I mean?
I'm not saying what do you mean. I'm saying it's absurd that you don't remember. You can't remember that it's the most famous part of the movie.
Remember, he watched The Matrix.
Here's Johnny's the most famous part of the movie.
He told us he watched.
That and him being frozen in the maze.
Yeah.
He told us he watched The Matrix. He came back and he didn't know who Neo was.
You say that.
No, you did. No, that is a factual statement.
One of the two main characters.
You didn't know.
No, wait. Who did he think Denzel Washington was?
John Wick.
That's it.
Yeah, well, I get things confused.
I've never seen John Wick, and I knew he wasn't Denzel Washington.
Brandon, what's your favorite movie?
Well, you know what? Dang, favorite movie, if I had to go.
Super Bowl 52 is an acceptable answer, by the way.
that too. Friday was always my favorite in the beginning.
Great movie. Great movie.
But I got to go, The Shining. The Shining.
How about that?
Are you serious?
How crazy is it that he doesn't remember Jack at the end, Brandon?
When you said about the snowy, that's what I thought about. The snow when you were chasing the sun.
Okay. Hey,
that's incredible.
Find him frozen.
Doesn't even know that scene happened.
I forget these things. Yeah. All right, let's get to Felix. He's calling from Northeast Philly. What's going on, Felix?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi, Felix.
Good morning, sir.
So, real quick, I just want to let BG know I've been a doubter, and I've doubted since draft day, because when they let Doc go, it just made sense to get Earl Thomas, and without you, we wouldn't have a bowl, so sorry for doubting you.
No, I appreciate you, Felix, man. We trust me, we ain't perfect either. You know what I'm saying? But I appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
So, I just want to know, why is it every time we play a team, other fans have, like, nerves of saying, oh, you won only because of Saquon? Or, I don't know why you guys don't give AJ the ball. Or, you know, dumb comments that the teams that they root for can't even do because they don't win the game. Like, for instance, when Mark Andrews dropped the ball, why didn't you give it to Derrick Henry? So I don't understand how their philosophy is against hating on us. And I love it. I love it. But I just don't understand.
Well, the Eagles are winning in a bit of a strange way. I mean, last week, Buffalo and KC didn't throw for a ton of yards, but they typically throw for more. You know, what the Eagles are doing in a modern sense is pretty unusual. I mean, to not have more yards passing is bizarre these days.
I would say it works in the NFL.
It's,
you look around the league, and it's what everyone who's successful is doing.
Well, it's swinging back, and the Eagles are at the forefront of it. There's no question. Felix, give me a great answer. Best scene ever in snow.
Well, I got Titanic with the iceberg.
Titanic iceberg. It's not
It's not snow.
So
it's cold, though.
It's a big clump.
It is cold.
Yeah.
It's cold.
And it was snowy, I would imagine, that night, maybe.
But they didn't show it in the scene. I don't believe.
Maybe they did.
No, dude, I'm the one that's seen Titanic.
He's the Titanic guy. Let's not argue.
It's a big clump of
snow.
No, you know what?
No, that's ice.
Let me think. The Revenant. The Revenant was
Oh, wild. That's a great the bear fight,
that
baby.
Bear oh, man, I forgot about that.
That is an incredible answer, BG.
Ooh,
but
the Revenant.
That BG is almost getting in Snatchy Mood Joe mode. BG is becoming Snatchy Mood Joe accidentally. Yeah, that is a great answer. I would have voted for that. Can BG win?
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
$150 gift card.
Joe's trying to take $500.
I'm going to take a lot of answers.
Today.
I'm going to take a lot of answers today.
Right, BG is a winning answer.
BG, the visual and the visual is not the word I'm looking for. The what am I trying to say here? How far could you see at the worst of the snow on Sunday? How far could you see?
It wasn't like the one we did with the Lions. Like, I couldn't really see everybody on the sideline. You would just see, like, little snippets of people. That's how hard it was pouring. But this one you could see, especially first half. First half, it was cool. Everything was just falling down. It wasn't sticking. But that second half, when we came outside, it was like, yeah. It felt like a fun game with your friends out there.
It didn't look like normal snow. It looked sort of like beads.
Mm-hmm. Almost it was like little snowflakes because, I mean, it was a couple. We was just watching it on our gloves, and it was just like a perfect one. Me and Matt Leo, we was talking, and because we was trying to figure out, was it hail? I mean, like little pieces, because that's
weird.
How it feel.
Yeah.
But it became slushy because it started melting, and that's what it was all on the field. And so... Yeah, it was one of those games, man.
Are you Nolan Smith is just never going to wear gloves even this week?
That
was not just a one-time thing. Like, he's just never going to wear any sort of, wow, that's really
That's
something.
Wild.
That all is. Year.
Brandon, do you know prior to right now that the Eagles, you guys are the favorites to win the Super Bowl?
Hey, man. Let me tell you, we ain't done nothing yet, man. I'm gonna say that all the time. We got to get there, baby. And then we got to if that's what it's going to be. We gotta take care of this week. And so I'm excited, man. People doubted us all year, but we just gotta make sure we continue to keep believing, continue to keep building. However we gotta win, a win is a win. I mean, I understand it's a passing league and everybody wanna do, but we might be going through a shift right now in the NFL.
Sure.
And right now, this we look back later on and say, hey, this was, I guess, because every team is doing this. But we just got to make sure that we play our game on defense, keep dominating, and make sure that we don't give nobody nothing. We got to go make them earn everything.
Jalix Hunt was back in action and actually producing. How much is he factoring in moving forward with the defensive plan?
I think he's factoring in good. He was already showing stuff in training camp and all that, but sometimes it was a little crowded. And then now he get an opportunity to go out there and really show what he can do. And now it's only going to build his confidence for the next game. Because like I always tell him, I'm like, man, trust yourself. Because that's all it is out there. People have the ability, but it's about trusting the game plan, trusting yourself, and not hesitating. Because if you know how it is in the NFL, you hesitate, that's how far away, like inches on you tip or intercepting the ball as a DB or letting the guy catch the ball because of a hesitation. So I tell him, trust your gut, trust what you prepared all week, and trust what coach instilled in you, and go get it.
Brandon Graham here. Coming up in 2 minutes, we're going to give you a name, and with that name, you can win tickets to the Eagles and Washington game Friday on our program. So be tuned here in the next 2 to 3 minutes. Lenny and Concha Hocken right now. Len, good morning.
What's going on, guys? BG, how are you?
Man, feeling good. What's up, Lenny?
I'm feeling great, man. Pleasure to speak to you. Big Michigan fan, so I just want to get it out of the way.
Go Blue.
So I want to point about something about this Commanders game that we're missing, and I don't know if you guys touched on this yesterday. I listened to part of the show. GJ was amazing in that game on Sunday, and him not playing the remainder of that game against the Commanders last time was absolutely brutal. Don't you guys remember how bad that was when he came out?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Now, not to mention, Dallas Goedert didn't play in that second game. Jalen Hurts didn't play in that second game, really.
Well, and also Pickett didn't play as well in that game as he did the next one. And so Eagles' drives weren't as sustained. And as a result, the defense had to keep going on the field. And I think that's a big part of why the defense wore down in the fourth quarter.
So much less effective. And Tristan McCollum was picked on.
Well, I don't remember that, but I believe you. Oh, for CJ. Yeah, of course.
So there was two really big plays in that game. If you remember, when we went up two touchdowns, Kenny Pickett threw the interception inside our own 30-yard line, and pretty much momentum changed. We didn't have another four-minute drive after that, and I think the Eagles are just predicated on that. I'm not worried about this game at all, and I'd like to tie my my reference to my movie in really fast. So this snow bowl, this snow fight on Sunday was like four brothers. The Eagles were stepped up. We were Bobby Mercer, and the Rams were Victor Sweet. And the Eagles just whooped that ass and put them in the snow. That's my movie for the thing. Go Birds!
All right, Lenny, you got it.
Has anyone seen Four Brothers?
I have.
Okay,
actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah, I'm assuming you hadn't seen
it. I'm the only one. Oh, you saw it, James?
I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Four Brothers, and it's a snow fight? Snowball fight?
It's in Detroit, right?
Yeah, they on the ice at the end when he said Victor Sweet.
Look at you with the movie knowledge. You were on it today.
I love movies. I ain't gonna lie. I love movies.